Good morning. Happy Mother's Day, moms. So grateful to God for you. Of course, because dads are on duty today, the kids will be perfect in church. This is how it goes. Open with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Today, I want to consider a passage of Scripture that holds out the care of a mother as a model for our ministry to one another in the life of the church. So the title of today's sermon is The Ministry of Motherhood. And as someone pointed out to me earlier, yes, it is the acronym MOM, unintentionally so. Read with me in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 8. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. This is God's word. It's easy to take people for granted. One of the saddest ironies of this is that the closer people are to us, the more likely it seems we are to do this. If a waiter at a restaurant or maybe a clerk in a store serves us in some way, and we might go out of our way to get online and write a review because they went above and beyond. But when the people closest to us serve us, we're tempted to just treat it as business as usual. And isn't that especially true with our moms? We all too easily fail to see the significance of the ministry of the people who sacrifice for us the most. Now, that was true for the church that originally received the letter that we just read together in 1 Thessalonians. They're in a city called Thessalonica, and the Apostle Paul and his team had founded the church there, and they had served that church sacrificially, cared for them deeply. And so this Thessalonian church literally owes their existence to Paul. But after a time, some very dire circumstances there meant that Paul and his team had to leave Thessalonica. And as time goes by, it seems the Thessalonians began to doubt Paul's care for them, and perhaps even the sincerity of what God had done in them. And so think about this. In a letter only 5 chapters long, Paul takes 3 of them to remind them of what God had done in them and to reassure them of his commitment to their spiritual good. Now here in chapter 2, he uses parenting as a metaphor for his ministry in the church. Later in chapters or in verses 9 through 12, he describes his ministry of fatherhood. But of course, ladies first, in the Bible as it is in our calendars, and appropriately so. So here in verses 1 through 8, he describes his ministry of motherhood. Now, of course, Paul was not a biological mom in a family, but the way he ministered in the church reflected the nature of a mother's ministry in the home. These qualities are things that the church is meant to imitate. in its ministry to one another. Now, why do I say that? Well, a bit earlier in chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says this, "You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord." So the qualities of ministry he describes here are qualities seen first in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and they are qualities that this church had already begun to imitate. And then if you read on in chapters 4 and 5, he continues to exhort them to grow in these things. Now, Paul shows us the nature of this ministry by contrast. He will repeatedly say what it is and then what it's not. He says, "We were not like this, we were like that." And what they were all builds up to verse 7, where he says, "We were like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." So I want to consider how the qualities of the ministry of Paul described here are lived out in the ministry of motherhood in the home, and how they are an example then to all of us in the church. Three qualities. First, the ministry of motherhood is persistent under pressure. The ministry of motherhood is persistent under pressure. Paul says, "You know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain." He says, "Though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict." Now, the suffering and conflict that Paul has in mind is described for us in the book of Acts. When Paul had been in Philippi, his ministry began to have a negative impact on some of the power brokers in the city. It began affecting them financially. And so these people literally incite a mob against Paul and his co-laborers, and they trump up some charges against him. And so the authorities then had him beaten and thrown in jail, where, of course, he keeps right on preaching. When the authorities find out eventually that Paul is a Roman citizen, they are terrified when they consider what they've done to him. They apologize to him for the way they've treated him, but then they quietly beg him to leave town, which he obliges. The next town he ends up in is Thessalonica. And after preaching there to these people and teaching in and around the synagogues for several weeks, Acts tells us that another group gets mad. And this time, it's not financial issues that's the concern so much, but jealousy. The religious leaders in town didn't like that he was getting all the attention, it seems. And so they gather a crowd again, and they accuse him wrongly again. And this time, they accuse him and his accomplices, you might say, of insurrection, because they claim that Jesus was king. And so after extracting some money from a man they claim had harbored Paul, they let him go. But the churches encouraged Paul and his team to leave town for their own safety. So that's the context. Paul, in his entire life, before, during, and after his ministry in Thessalonica, it was a time, a ministry of suffering, of mistreatment, and conflict. Now, how many moms are saying, "Oh man, I can relate to that this morning. I have suffered. I have been shamefully treated. That mob in Philippi has got nothing on the mob at my kitchen table." Friends, we are all passing through life in a fallen world. We all bear the weight of suffering in our own ways according to our own callings. And so, of course, this is just as true for the calling of motherhood. It's got its unique sufferings. And no doubt there may be some of us who especially feel the weight of those pressures this morning. And what mom does not know the pressure of having to do the thing she's called to do, as Paul did, in the midst of much conflict? "He's touching me," right? "She's breathing on my food. He took my toy. And then they get a little older, and it's like the eye rolls and the ugh. The drama with friends over text and all of that stuff rolls eventually somehow to mom. Now, what was extraordinary about Paul's ministry and a mom's ministry is that despite all these things, they persist. They persist. They reflect, as they do, the very ministry of the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. He says elsewhere in chapter 2 that when Jesus suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. We should all learn from the example of Jesus and Paul and mom this morning. And that every Christian should aspire to live a life that persists in service despite the pressures of doing such things in a fallen world. But that does not mean that we just sort of white-knuckle it through life in our own strength. We don't. And it doesn't mean we don't have seasons, of course, where our capacities and our abilities change. We do. It means that since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And then we do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So friends, let me ask all of us, what callings has God put in your life in this season? In your home, in your work, in the church, in the community? And are you facing circumstances that make you just want to hit the snooze button on all those things? C.S. Lewis addressed the temptation to do something like that as a Christian academic working during World War II. In his essay, Learning in Wartime, he said, "If we let ourselves, we shall always be waiting for some distraction or other to end before we can really get down to our work. The only people who achieve much are those who want knowledge so badly that they seek it while the conditions are still unfavorable. Favorable conditions never come." Friends, moms know all too well that favorable conditions never come, and yet they persist. And may we learn from their example this morning. The ministry of motherhood and the ministry of all Christian service is a ministry marked by persistence under pressure. Secondly, the ministry of motherhood is from God and for God. The ministry of motherhood is from God and for God. Verse 3 says, "For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God." Friends, we live life in this modern world. We are under a persistently relentless pace. And it's hard, isn't it, to stop long enough to see beyond maybe what's just right in front of you. And if that's true for all of us, how much more so is it true for moms juggling a never-ending list of responsibilities for their families? And so sometimes we have to stop and remember what Paul tells us here, which is that all Christian service, including the call to motherhood, is a calling from God for God. And some callings in our lives are subjective. We think we might be called to this kind of job, or we think we might be called to that place to live, or to this area of study. Other callings are objective, and we hold them unquestionably as given to us by God. And such is the calling of motherhood. If someone calls you mom, you are called to motherhood. And you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are called to that. That he has knit a child together in your womb, or he has providentially placed them in your home. Your calling is from God. But what's true in the home, I want us to see, is just as true in the church. If you are an adult Christian woman in the church, you are a mother in the household of God. I'm not making that up or saying it to make everyone feel included. I'm saying it because it's true. At the end of the book of Romans in chapter 16, Paul greets a number of specific individuals in the church there. And in verse 13, he says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well." Now, Paul obviously had a mother in the home, but according to Romans 16, he also had a mother in the faith. And when he instructs his protege Timothy about how to relate with people in the church, he says in 1 Timothy 5, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father." So on Father's Day, gentlemen, I'll encourage you. He says, "Treat younger men as brothers, as peers in the Lord, and older women, treat them as mothers." So moms in the home and moms in the faith, motherhood is God's design, and your calling is from him. And like Paul, then that forms the motive for your ministry. You have been providentially placed in a household by a good and sovereign God in order to care for the children he has given you. Aren't you glad that God didn't give your children that mom on Instagram? He gave them you. And he didn't give you the kids on Instagram. He gave you your kids. And resting in the calling of God will then bless you in 1,000 ways. Because God called you to your family, you can be free from the burden of comparison this morning. You don't have to pretend you're someone you're not. You don't have to strive to make your family like someone else's. God has called you and no one else to your family and to no one else's. And so you can just quiet even now. All the voices online, just don't even get on there and see the pictures they post from their Mother's Day lunch. You don't need to see that. Listen to the voice of God. Say, "I've called you and I'm enough." And because God called you to your family, you can also have this hope that you have his own power to help. What God calls us to, he equips us for. And so you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know all the right ways to do all the right things with all the infinite pieces of baby equipment that everybody says you got to have. And ways everybody online says it's the best way to do everything. And who execute every ideal plan for nutrition and education and sports and exercise and college and career planning and how to teach them to drive and on and on and on. Any of those things may be right and good. There may be insights to gain. But mom, the only thing you must know is God and his word. That's all you've got to have. That is so freeing in a world that wants to impress upon you how you ought to be doing everything. That God's word is sufficient. That his word will never change. No amount of new research is going to upend, thus saith the Lord. And his power is made perfect in your weakness. So communion with him will do you a world of good that no other amount of information or pressure or research ever could. The source of Paul's ministry, just like the source of yours, is God himself. And so look at what he says that did in his life, in his ministry. He says, "We had boldness in our God." Not, "We had boldness because we were outstanding preachers." Paul apparently felt kind of mid about his preaching. He said, I came to you not with eloquence or wisdom or wise or persuasive words, but I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit and of his power. Not because I always responded perfectly to every circumstance. He doesn't say because I had just the right thing to say to every question, because I had the right strategy for every parental problem. Not we had boldness in our superior knowledge. The source of Paul's confidence in ministry was God and his gospel. And so here's the hope for us. The same source that empowered Paul is available to empower me and you. Mom, you are never mightier than when you pray. You are never bolder than when you have a word from God. So when you draw from God's word the bread of life and streams of living water, you have something to give your children that will not change with the latest trend. You have a sure foundation that every Christian mom stood on who came before you, and every Christian mom will stand on who comes after you, when the foundation of your ministry to your children is God and his word. When there's a conflict and you pray, when there's heartache and you share truths from scripture like God is our refuge and strength, then you, like Paul, can have a persistent boldness because what you've just offered your kids will not fail. Paul says God isn't just the source of our service. He's the focus of it. In verse 4, Paul says, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. Friends, no matter how much thanks you did or didn't get that day, you can lay your head at night on the pillow with peace and joy, knowing that God himself has seen every act of faith. Every labor of love has not gone unnoticed by the God of the universe, and he's the one we've come to serve. The calling of Christian motherhood is a calling from God and for God. And lastly, the ministry of motherhood is self-giving. It's self-giving. In these closing verses, Paul addresses the motives and aims of a truly Christian ministry. First, what they are not, and then what they are. In verse 5, he says, we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. Truly, Christian service is self-giving. It isn't motivated by the desire for self-gain, whether the gain of greed or the gain of glory. Now, this was a real temptation in Paul's day. In the ancient world, with no screens or media, philosophers and rhetoricians and teachers traveled around the ancient world from town to town, part educators, but part entertainers. And they stood to gain massively in finances and fame. Now, if those temptations were present then, they are exponentially greater in our digital age. You and I can get ourselves in front of huge crowds almost instantly. And it's all too easy to feign sincerity when it gets you clicks and views and followers. But Christian ministry and Christian teaching must be altogether distinct from the world. And one of the things that authenticates it is its intentional lack of self-motivation. So it was crucial then that Paul distinguish himself from the ministry of Christ and the ministry of Christ from the motivations of greed and glory. And when Paul goes looking for an example of that kind of ministry, a ministry that is so self-giving, it is evidently not in it for greed or glory. He grabs the example of motherhood. And in verse 7, says, we're not after greed or glory, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. I remember when our first child was born on Mother's Day, 2006. Two things stand out to me about the early days of caring for a newborn. The first is how incredibly hard it is. As a 25-year-old guy, I had not spent a lot of time around newborns. And within a month, my respect for every parent that ever existed on planet Earth went through the roof. This is an impossible task. This is crazy. But second, I was immediately blown away by the intuitive way my wife cared for our baby girl. When she cried in the night, nobody had to go over to Jamie and say, hey, you should check on the baby now. Nobody had to say, hey, you should pick her up. You should feed the baby. These things just seemed to come so intuitively for her. And when it's 3 in the morning, no one is watching. Nobody has any greed or glory motivating them when they're standing over a crib with a terrified, messy baby at 3 o'clock in the morning. She's not like going to post for an Instagram pic while hovering over a crib in a stained shirt with bloodshot eyes. That's not how this goes. She is entirely absorbed in the care of her child. No greed, no glory, just affection and care. And Paul says, this is the model for a Christian's ministry to one another. It's a model for all of us. Gentle, caring, affectionate, self-giving, like a mom caring for a newborn. Now let me ask some of you guys here this morning who maybe have been checked out for the last 25 minutes or so. Does this make you squirm a little? Like, I'm supposed to conduct myself like a nursing mom? Well, that's weird. Well, yes. In 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes a very personal letter to a young man in the faith he was mentoring. And he's encouraging and he's exhorting him in his discipleship and in his ministry. And as he closes the letter, he describes the way of life of those who had not persevered in the faith and in their ministry. And then with a kind of a finger pointed in Timothy's chest, he says in chapter 6, verse 11, "But as for you, O man of God, flee those things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness." Young men, the Christian life is not just about fleeing the wrong things. It's also about pursuing the right things. And those right things include, among others, but include steadfastness and gentleness. And what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians is those are things, guys, you will especially see in the care of your mom. So, young man, I want to exhort you the same way this morning. Watch your mom. Pay attention to her this afternoon. Watch the way she instinctively cares for her children. The way she gently cares for them and nourishes them. The way, if they're younger, she holds them with affection and love at great cost to herself. And then, young man, you go love other people like that. Love your wife, men, like that. Love your kids like that. Love the people you minister to like that. Brother pastors, love the church like that. You will bring your own fatherly, brotherly qualities to bear as well. But one way you will learn how to be a godly man is by learning to appreciate the care of a godly mother. Now, young ladies, pro tip for you. You want a guy who will treat you well, you watch the way he treats his mom. You're interested in a guy? Watch the way he treats his mother. Does he boss her around? Does he constantly criticize her? Belittle her? Well, that's a good indication of how once the butterflies are gone, he's going to be tempted to treat you. And you should bail on that kind of relationship. But if he honors her, if he appreciates her, if he respects her, not because she's perfect, but because she's faithful, and if nothing else, she's been given to him by God, then that's one encouraging sign of how he'll treat you. Now, as we close, I want to read something to you. I did something that had the potential to be very unwise the other day. As I was preparing for this message, I texted my wife and the mother of our six children this. Got any examples of how what moms do can be overlooked? I got five paragraphs back. So from the words of a mom. I won't read all this, by the way. When kids are small especially, they don't register most of what mom does. Dishes, laundry, cleaning, make sure there is toothpaste and brushes and clothes that fit, shoes that fit, coats, sheets, milks of various kinds, four specific kinds, special foods for kids with allergies, meds, tissues, band-aids, books, games, outside time, nutritional support, enough sleep, enough play, not too much screen time. Later, it's homework help, management, tracking, making sure there's stuff for lunches, projects, sports, activities, driving them around to all these different things. Most of the time, things we do are only noticed when they are not being done. The rest of the time, it seems to be done by magic. At least for the very young. And for the rest, it's often taken for granted. Unless time is taken to stop and notice what your mom does for you. She says, I didn't appreciate all my mom did for me until I was an adult and realized the cost to her personally. But then she bailed me out. She said, babe, this isn't a complaint at all. Moms are in the business of doing what will be immediately undone. And things are very ordinary and not spectacular. We kiss boo-boos and give snuggles and wipe noses and clean up messes and make meals that might be rejected. And we do it day after day after day with little thanks. But we don't do it for the thanks. We love our families and the Lord. We can lay our lives down for the good of others, yes, our children included, because Jesus laid down his life for us. It is a joy to be able to literally give our lives, our minutes and hours and days and years and decades for others. It is a high calling and an opportunity to be like Jesus. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you for the ministry of motherhood. We thank you for the moms who nurtured us. And we thank you for the spiritual mothers in this household of faith who nurture our faith to this day. Lord, we pray, encourage them today. Help them to hear your well done, good and faithful servant. Give them all the grace that they need, that we trust is sufficient from you, to persist in this calling as unto you for your glory as they continually give of themselves as Christ Jesus gave of himself for them. And Father, I pray that their legacy would be strong in our midst, that we would see them and not only give thanks for them, but emulate them as we follow Jesus and serve others
according to the example we have in Christ, in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and in the service of our moms. In Jesus' name.